Kellogg, Henry W., 1883. Kellogg. The Lord has been letting light shine upon his people. Brother Henry Kellogg, the Lord would have you occupy a different position. Take less responsibility and have less of larger things to attend to, and cultivate habits of order, of neatness, looking after the littles, stopping the leaks. But one point was shown me as a marked defect in your character. You are not kind and courteous to all employed, as one in your position should be. Those who deal with mines should ever be kind. You have almost completely weaned yourself from the workers in the office because you are not kind and courteous as God would have you to be. Some will not love you if you pursue a straightforward course and do not justify their wrongs. But if this integrity with an eye single to God's glory is pursued, you will have enemies, while at the same time, you will have strong friends. The Apostle Paul exhorts, "Be gentle unto all men." 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. The outsiders must not see in you sharp traits of character which will leave a reproach upon your holy faith. In your position, you are giving sermons daily. Your character should be after the divine model, manifesting a spirit of kindness and love. Come close to young men under your charge. Love them. Treat them tenderly. They are the purchase of the blood of Christ. Remember that in every word that proceeds from your lips, there may be a barbed arrow in the tone or in the ideas expressed. You want the love of Jesus in your heart that will flow out of your heart through your lips. And in your attitude to others, love, mercy, and truth are attributes you must cultivate daily. In order to do this, you must become a faithful worker in the church. Your position requires it. You cannot fill your position to God's acceptance unless you are an active, working Christian. For your example will be an encouragement to others to do as you do. God wants you to take a higher position in love. You can do it. Never command, but direct, advise. This is your duty as God's servant. Win souls. Win the confidence of the young and those who labor in connection with the work. You do not meet the requirements of God. God demands not merely a business service for which you are paid, but a personal service as Christ's servant. It is not enough that men give their means. He requires that they give themselves unreservedly to his service. God desires a personal service, whatever may be one's business and calling. Vicarious service in giving our substance is not enough, for this does not meet the requirement of God. There is a responsibility resting upon you, my brother, that you have not met. You must not be a passive receiver. You must give out the light received from the throne of grace. The earth receives light and heat and rain and dew, and testifies of the same in the yielding harvest, in the fruits, grains, and flowers. The same with yourself. The cause of Christ must be advanced. Souls must be saved through your instrumentality. The command is double, to be hearers and doers of the word. Receive not only yourself, but impart to others the precious gift. Take it to your home. Let it be diffused there. Take it to the office, and let the light shine forth there in kindly, considerate words. Praise rather than censure. Direct, but not command. First, be assured of your acceptance with Christ. Then plead in faith that you may be sanctified, qualified for your work, that you may be prepared to do it, feeling that you are under a sacred commission to let your light shine. Let the Christian principles be revealed in your words, in your spirit. You are God's missionary, not to go to foreign lands, but to labor earnestly, prayerfully, lovingly for your workmen with whom you are connected. They need converting grace as much as the far-off heathen. While some may have to go to the ends of the earth, God has a field for home missionaries. Opportunities have been lost that you might have improved. There are possibilities for work to be done by you for Jesus that you have never dreamed of. A Christian is a Christ-like man, a Christ-like woman, who is active in God's service, who is present at the social meeting, whose presence will encourage others also. Religion does not consist in works, but religion works. It is not dormant. The pure religion of Jesus is the fountain from which flow streams of charity, love, self-sacrifice. If ye love me, ye will do the works of my Father, is the lesson Jesus sought to impress upon the minds of his disciples. There is a great deal of shirking responsibilities in religious life which God condemns. With the love of Christ in the heart, the lips will utter his praise and magnify his name. There will be a pressure upon the soul filled with Christ's love. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. This is not applicable to the pulpit alone, but to every true child of promise. If we have received pardoning grace, this is our warrant to present in word and action this unspeakable love to those with whom we are connected. It is your duty now to be sentinel over yourself to win affection, not by conceding one principle of truth, but in exemplifying Christ, in being considerate, in being kind, in avoiding everything that savors of dictatorial authority. Show in words, in actions, that you love the workers, every soul of them, because they are the purchase of the blood of Christ. You must change your spirit of sharpness. You must show Christ in all your deeds. Not let any cause be given to say of you that you are dishonest or a sharper. God has lent you talents to be used. You have been almost, as it were, an idler in the church. You are apt to place too large an estimate upon giving, and we undervalue the personal notice, attention, and ministry which money cannot procure. Satan is at work constantly to ruin souls. He tempts the youth. He tempts all engaged in the office. But let no temptation come through you. Discourage no one. Provoke no one. Things will go wrong with everyone. Sadness and discouragement press every soul. Then a personal presence, a friend who will comfort and impart strength, will turn back the darts of the enemy that are aimed to destroy. Christian friends are not half as plentiful as they should be. In hours of temptation, in a crisis, what a value is a true friend! Satan, at such times, sends along his agents to cause the trembling limbs to stumble. But the true friends who will counsel, who will impart magnetic hopefulness, the calming faith that uplifts the soul. Oh, such help is worth more than precious pearls. God wants you to come into more sympathetic personal relations with those connected as workers in the office. Be true to those souls. Love them, and do not wound their souls with sharp orders or sharp reproofs. This must be overcome. You must discipline yourself. Be firm, decided, unyielding, but courteous, kind, and Christ-like. Let your voice be oftener heard kindly, with hope melting with tenderness, trembling with love. The kind, thoughtful, sympathetic, personal effort has wrought miracles. It is this the office needs in great abundance. Remember, you are working for eternity. We must meet all these souls we are brought in contact with in the judgment. What impressions have we given them as Christ's representatives? Let only sweet, fragrant odor be diffused. God wants you, Brother Kellogg, to use the ability he has given you, not merely as a business manager, but as one who can put out his talents to the exchangers. Glorify God. Exercise your ability in meeting. Let the conscientious fear of God be upon you in all your business transactions. What a door of usefulness is open before you to lead the young to Jesus. Show yourself a friend to the young by showing a regard for them, an interest in them. God requires that one in your position should be wholly dedicated to himself. This is just as essential in your position as for the minister who carries the word of life to the people. The word of God enjoins upon every soul who follows Christ, whether ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. The minister's mind is directed in one channel that encourages devotion and consecration and sanctification. In your position, you are exposed to numerous temptations, exposed to the atmosphere which surrounds souls that is poisonous to the health of spirituality. In the first place, you must be in the world and yet not of the world. You must stand at your post of duty, guarding the interests of the institution that it shall not be lost by unprincipled men, and yet not become unprincipled yourself. You are working from a different standpoint than the worldling. God's cause will not be honored or advanced by any sharp dealing because this is the world's custom. You must make a business of serving God. While in the world, you are not to live as they live and practice dishonesty and sharpness in deal, because this is the world's custom. God's sons and daughters must show they are of heavenly extraction. The great man in God's sight is he who, in the midst of crowds, of cares, and financial pressure, keeps his soul unpolluted, unstained, without one blot of worldly pollution. Firmly relying upon God by prayer and faith, the soul will stand firm in moral independence, yet with perfect kindness, love, and goodness. The temptations of society are met and resisted. Communion is maintained with God, and the communication between your soul and God enables you to transmit to others, through your social relations, the choicest blessings which heaven has to bestow. These will be trying positions to maintain. Wrongs and prejudices existing in society, in the church, and in those working in the office will have to be met, which no Christian can sanction without losing the favor of God. While he seeks to set these things right, he has a power behind him, for the Lord of hosts is his rearward. Exact and impartial justice will be seen in all his dealings. But his duty does not end here. God requires more. He demands of you to love as Christ has loved souls. He demands of you compassion for the suffering, the erring, those who are subject to Satan's temptations. He demands of you kindness, courtesy to even the unfortunate, a generous consideration of the feelings of others. These are men who have trouble, young who have supposed grievances. Whether they are fancied or real, are in trouble and need help. And God lays you under obligation not to cut and wound, but to help them. The Spirit of Jesus must be seen in your life, in your character, in your administrations toward all, unbelievers and those who are followers of Christ. My brother, we are working for time and for eternity. You must so order your intercourse and deal with the world as to secure for yourself a calm, hallowed peace, while you leave a record behind of godly example that your good will not be justly evil spoken of. You have a work to do, changes to make in your business life, in your religious life, or you will not stand around the great white throne with a spotless record. God has a work for you to do in the church, or you will not be a living stone, but a dead, lifeless stone. You must cultivate the same spirit of tender love. You must cherish kindly affection for all you associate with in your particular labor in the office, and your business associations in the world. You are not to pattern the evils which you see, but to guard jealously your own spirit, lest you manifest unsanctified traits of character. Take time to pray. Take time to help in the church, to show a good example in this respect, and you will find your own social life will be much happier. There is no man who would appreciate the blessings of God more than yourself, but you have thought that the special blessing of God was not for you. But it is for you, and you must not be content without it. You must surrender yourself to God. He has a more high and noble work for you to do. Be frank and open in all your work with your brethren. Counsel together. Make no move without counseling with your brethren, and then taking God into your counsel. Jesus will preside in your council meetings if you invite him. When you or others move on your own finite judgment, then the Lord leaves you to your own course and to feel its results. We need Jesus' help and wisdom and grace to execute any and every work in his cause.